The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So welcome, welcome. It's nice to see you all. And I'm happy that we no longer have Mrs. Zoom kind of announcing that everything's getting recorded. Even though I know you guys all have, you have to click the, that you acknowledge that it's being recorded. So today I'd like to talk a little bit about something that I stumbled upon earlier today that I guess all of us know this. It won't be new, but it's just maybe recognizing that it's maybe measurable, quantifiable, and maybe even knowing this, knowing about it might influence us. And that is this idea that I guess maybe the formal description is emotional contagion. And I didn't realize this, and maybe some of you know this. Well, we all know that emotions are contagious, right? If you're around somebody who's really sad, maybe it kind of lowers your mood. Maybe not too, or if somebody's really happy or upbeat, you know, that we can feel it. And apparently, this some time ago, experiments were done where they would put complete strangers, I guess they would take their emotional state as well as some physiological measurements, blood pressure, heart rate, maybe respiration rate, I'm not sure. Complete strangers, put them together, like three people, put them together in a room where they face each other and don't speak. And probably, these experiments were done before everybody had a little phone in their pocket, so they weren't fiddling with their phones either. But it was not very long before everybody's mood kind of like stabilized to be the same mood, as well as some of the physiological measurements, heart rate, blood pressure, etc. Complete strangers not speaking. So just this recognition that moods are contagious, but also, you know, the scientists have this expression that our neurological system, we might say, our nervous system, is an open loop system. That is, we tend to think that it's closed loop, right? That we it's entirely within ourselves. But they're saying, no, it's absolutely has this big part that's dependent on our external environment. And if we think about this evolutionarily, it makes sense. This is how a parent can soothe a child, right? Just because these kind of emotions are contagious and we need for that to happen. But then how does this affect how we understand ourselves today and now? I'm just thinking about loving kindness practice that can be a support, recognizing this open loop system and that feelings, emotions are contagious. One is, can help us have some resilience. If we're in the presence of others whose emotions are not helpful, let's use that are, if they're feeling cantankerous, for example, or just irritable or something like this. So they can help us feel a bit more resilient so that we aren't experiencing that. And maybe I should say also that the emotions that are the easiest to spread, you won't be surprised to learn one, is laughter, right? When people start laughing, right? Even if we don't know why they're laughing, we start laughing. But cheerfulness and warmth are easily spread. Irritability, not as much. But depression was like the least of all to be spread. So loving kindness practice, I was thinking about this saying that we've all heard that's attributed to Mahatma Gandhi, be the change you wish to see in the world. If we wish to see some warmth and some care, some lack of ill will, lack of hostility in our communities, we can just show up with some warmth and cheerfulness. And of course, it's not so simple that if we were to just fake it, maybe there has to be some authenticity there as well as some alignment or honesty there. But just this recognition that we do affect others and others affect us. And loving kindness practice helps us to have some resilience if it's not helpful the way that others are affecting us. And maybe we can help spread some warmth, kindness, and goodwill. Sometimes the Buddhists have this expression, for the benefit of all beings. And it's precisely, we could understand it this way, right? That we do this practice and then maybe those we come in contact with experience it, and then those they come in contact with, and on, so on and so on. So emotional contagion and noticing, recognizing that we are open loop systems. Okay, so with that as a introduction, let's do a little bit of meditation practice. Can sink into some warmth, some kindness, not only for our benefit, but for the benefit of all beings, right? Those that we come in contact with, and as I said, may spread from there. So, in a meditation posture, and with some warmth, with some care, just checking in. How is this moment? How is this body? How is the mental frame? With an invitation, it's all welcome. Whatever's happening, you don't have to try to only be having pleasant experiences or whatever's happening, can we have a welcoming attitude, even if it is unpleasant? Even if it is not what we would prefer. We'll do a little bit of a body scan to help us get connected to the body, help bring some greater ease. So feeling into the face, the place where our emotions are often expressed, but also where tension can be held around the eyes, around the jaw. Being into the neck, aligning the head over the shoulders, the ears over the shoulders, so that the neck is not too far leaning forward. And our shoulders, letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. Feeling into the upper back and the lower back. and feeling into the chest. Is there a way that the chest can be just a tiny bit more open? Maybe the shoulders go back. Such a small movement. Maybe somebody looking at you wouldn't even notice. In the belly, letting the belly relax. And feeling the pressure of the chair, cushion, couch, bed, wherever we're seated. Feeling the pressure against the body, and the buttocks, the legs. The lower parts of the legs. And the feet. How about the right arm? And the right hand. And the left arm. And the left hand. And then letting our tension rest on the sensations of breathing. When the mind wanders, no problem. We just bring the attention back to the sensations of breathing. Just a reminder, you can always come back to this practice. If for whatever reason, loving kindness practice doesn't feel right for you at this time. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bringing to mind a lovable being, starting where it's easy. Somebody, some being for whom it's easy to feel warmth, care, respect, love, kindness. Choose whichever word resonates for you. And connect with this person in whatever way makes sense for you. and to support our cultivating loving kindness. We can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Maybe imagining how it would be if in the experiments I described earlier, three strangers in a room, not talking, but the emotion is contagious. What would it be like if you wanted to share goodwill? Metta, loving kindness, care. Maybe radiating it. Maybe repeating these phrases in your mind. Then let's extend the loving kindness to a good friend, bringing them to mind. May you be saved. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. We find our mind wandering. Just very simply begin again. We don't have to make a story about it. We just connect with a good friend. And send some loving kindness. And then to extend the loving kindness to ourselves. Of course, we include ourselves. For some people, it's sometimes a habit to overlook taking care of themselves, having loving kindness for themselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And we have the manner in which we practice match what we're practicing. That is, can we have some warmth about when we discover we're lost in thought or trying to remember, wait, what am I doing here? Be relaxed, easeful. May I be saved. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then expanding our loving kindness a little bit further to include those we don't know, somebody we don't have a relationship with, maybe somebody on this Zoom call that we haven't met, somebody we see in the neighborhood. It can be helpful to choose a specific individual as opposed to just the generic collective. Somebody we don't know. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. bring into mind that neutral person, somebody we don't know, maybe a little bit slippier, but somebody with whom we don't have any emotional charge. This can be such a rich place to practice. Complete stranger, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Allowing ourselves to feel the warm-heartedness, wishing others safety, health, happiness, ease. And also feeling the way that it supports us. Some kind of way in which this warm-heartedness heals some of the unfinished business of our hearts. So let's see. Did you all hear the bell? Yes, you did. No, you didn't hear a bell. Okay, so that was a little mistake on my part. I heard the bell. So I guess we could end the meditation. My apologies.
It was very faint.
It was very faint?
Very faint. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was the bell or not, actually.
Okay. So thank you. Helps me with this technology here. So this idea of emotional contagion and can work both ways, right? So that we can share some of our warm-heartedness or goodwill without having to say or do anything, just being in the presence of others, as well as helping us to not feel or to not take on the crankiness or irritability of others. So it can be helpful to talk about these ideas with others. So I'd like to put you into some breakout rooms and talk about emotional contagion. I think all of us have this experience. But how this might impact the way that you think about your loving kindness practice or even your meditation practice in general, if you have other practices besides loving kindness that you do. So you'll be in groups of three or four, and it can be helpful to just say one point, not everything you know about the topic, and then it goes to the next person, and then let them say something, goes to the next person, and this way everybody has an opportunity to contribute, and then it comes back around, and now you have a second opportunity, and maybe you have some new ideas that have been sparked by hearing what others have had to say. So collectively, like allowing yourself to, new ideas to be stimulated, allowing yourselves to be influenced. Okay, so can go in the order of the first digit of your house number. Okay, so here we go. You are now in the main session. Okay, so welcome back. Does anybody have a question or a comment or something they'd like to share? Yes.
Hi. This is my first meeting, and so hi, everyone.
Welcome.
And my question is, and it bubbled up during the breakout room session, which is being with someone, being around someone, and a random memory pops up. And we share this memory, and the person says, you know, that's exactly what I needed to hear. A contagion?
And is that your question? Is it a contagion? Yeah, I wonder what difference it makes if the answer is yes or if the answer is no. Because honestly, I don't know. Right? It's hard to say. Maybe sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. Maybe there's a song that the neighbors are playing that, you know, we don't even really notice, but then it just brings everybody back to a certain era, and then something comes up. I don't know. I'm just making this up. So there may be some completely independent factors, right? We can't rule that out. But seems like, you know, maybe it is contagion. And maybe sometimes it isn't.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm not sure if that was helpful at all, but I want to say welcome to Happy Heart.
You know, it was helpful because what I got from it is what it is.
Nice.
And that's kind of the gig, isn't it?
Yes. That's right. That's right. Thank you. And what is your name?
Gabe.
Gabe. Thank you, Gabe. Anybody else have a comment? No, nobody has something else they'd like to say. That's okay. We don't have to. Want to force people. Neil, is your hand up?
Yeah, I have a slightly off-topic question. Yes. In the middle of the meditation, you said, you know, if your mind wanders, you don't have to make up stories. It seems we make up stories like all the time. You know, right? Yeah. You know, the more I meditate, the less I understand why I do things, I guess. Yeah. So, right. And I, and that it seems to me like a lot of my understanding of myself is just stories that I've made up. Do you have insight into, yeah, right. I don't even have a question there, right. I'm just perplexed.
Well, thank you, Neil. Maybe I'll just share this. I forgot who said this. It might've been David Loy, but, humans are story-making beings. It's part of, you know, a distinct thing and one of our characteristics. But I think what happens, right, the more we meditate, the less authoritative those stories become. Like, instead of thinking like, oh, yeah, that's the truth, because it's in my mind, of course, it must be the truth, we start to feel like, oh, yeah, okay, there's my old friend, the inner critic. Hello, how are you? But, you know, we just kind of feel like it's maybe a companion or a sub voice, you know, in some kind of way, rather than just automatically believing everything. And so maybe that's part of a meditation practice. And so when I'm saying not making stories, is maybe just acknowledging that sometimes we might say like, oh, shoot, my mind was drifting. And then maybe it just ends there instead of saying, when am I ever going to get it? Look, everybody else, they're so calm. They know what they're doing. And I'm always a little bit behind everybody else. And whoop, off we go, right, on this big long story. So maybe it's just the first thing like, oh, I'm just making this one up. Being a little bit disappointed when we discover that our mind is lost. Instead of it being a long story, maybe it's just a short story. Is that helpful, Neil?
Yeah, it was great. Thank you for having a better answer than I had a question.
Thank you, Neil. Okay. So, oh yes, Jerry, do you have something you'd like to say?
I mentioned in the chat, sorry for taking people on another minute here, but I just wondered, I like what you just answered there to Neil, which was very helpful, the idea that I do think mindfulness reduces the charge of the stories that we might tell ourselves and thus gives us a bit more freedom. That's very, very helpful, really helpful. I'll go to bed and mindlessly dwell with that thought. But are emotions usually more contagious than not?
What do you mean? Our emotions?
If you notice emotions, like in a group or with other people, do they usually? Is it usual for most people in the group to be so-called infected, not to use a biological term, by the emotions expressed by others, or is it usually that they aren't? I'm just asked, I don't have the statistics on that. I realize it in the mental health professions, but in the general sense, are emotions generally for humans more infectious than not? In other words, wherever you are, it's more likely than not that you'll be not only will you pick up whatever the emotion is, but you might get caught up in it.
Yes. I think, and so I don't know the answer to this, so I didn't talk about it, but there is some research, and probably somebody knows the answer to it. There tend to be emotionally dominant people, that their emotions are more contagious than other individuals. So if you're in the presence of somebody who has, and for maybe these are people particularly charismatic, or I don't know what those characteristics are. That's maybe the question. But I think emotions are always contagious. The question is, whose emotions are the most contagious, maybe? And I don't have the answer to that.
That's very helpful. Thank you. That they're always contagious. And you're saying some people, they may be even more contagious than others by their charisma.
I'm using this word charisma. I don't know if the researchers would use that.
Right. But emotions are always contagious.
Yeah.
That's very helpful.
Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Okay. So, sure. If I'm willing to stay on, I see, Trudy, that you have a question. So if others, I want to respect other people's time. And Eileen writes, so metta is even more important. I would agree. And I also want to acknowledge if people want to go, they can go. But I'm going to also let Trudy have a chance to speak. Yes, Trudy.
Well, when I am, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
When I'm in a group, I do notice that there's a lot of emotion swirling around, and more and more I'm getting the sense that I have a choice about what I pick up and what I don't. So, nice. And like everything else is practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. And I want to apologize to my partner in New York because I ran out of juice. My computer went dead and I ran away. So I apologize.
Diana was Diana your partner? She's given the thumbs up. Like, that's okay.
Oh, good. Two thumbs.
Yeah, thank you, Trudy, for pointing that out. That's exactly what meditation practice helps us to see. Like, oh yeah, I have a choice here, right? If we are more aware of what's happening, then we're less likely just getting pushed around by what's happening. Yeah. Thank you, Trudy.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For letting me speak.
Yeah. Okay, so let's maybe we could close our time together with a raucous, unruly way to say goodbye. And
bye.
And thank you, Diana.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye, Diana. I'm sorry, I slept.
Nice meeting you, Gabe and Jean.
Sorry.
Welcome, Gabe. Nice to see you. Bye, everybody. Awesome. Always a pleasure to be on board. Thank you for everything.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks. I don't know. Neil.